Welcome tonight to Traveling for Christ Ministries. We're in a new church room, and we're happy about that. It's a lot better. The question of the month we had this month was, how many people have died and went to heaven before Christ was crucified? If you read your Bibles in John 3:13, it says, Christ said, no one had been to heaven except he who came from there, the Son of Man. So until Christ was crucified and descended into Hades and wherever all he went in paradise, and he defeated Satan on his own without God helping, and he accepted his rightful place, no one had been to heaven until that point. People, I hear a lot of stories. I hear in the Old Testament, three people were taken up, is what it says. Taken up, one who says it was taken up into the heavens. Well, into heaven, depending on your translation. When you go back and read the Hebrew and Aramaic and you figure out it was a figure of speech. Like, I know when I was growing up, we would look into the heavens. And if you watch NASA and space travel now, they say, look into the heavens and you'll see the spaceship going across. Well, it didn't see God. It was the same thing back then. When we put two and two together with the Old Testament and the New Testament, it says they were taken up. New Testament, Christ says they didn't go to heaven. And we're going to kind of get into that just a little bit here, in a little bit with the sacrifice and the blood. So there was the answer to the question of the month, and it bleeds right into what we're going to talk about tonight. People get confused with the Son of God and with the Son of Man, and they get confused with paradise and the Old Testament and heaven in the New Testament. You're going to kind of break that down just a little bit. There's a whole lot of scripture. I mean, I could go 40 million places, it seems like, and I could overload you with scripture, but we're going to talk about a few of them. In John 17:5, Christ said, and now he's talked to his dad, and he says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. That's the New Testament. Christ is saying, I was with my Father before the world began. Okay, take it into Genesis, where it says, let us make man in our image. You have God the Son, God the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. So in the New Testament, he's talking about it right here. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Christ was here before this earth. Christ is the Lord of the Old Testament. When you get into when he was being tested by the rabbis and the Pharisees and all these people, and they were questioning him, they knew who he was. They didn't want to give up their positions. They were happy with what they were doing. So when they questioned him, he really made them mad because he was in public when he said, before Abraham, I am. For the public that had listened to them teach scriptures for years and centuries and whatever, people would know who the great I am is. Christ was saying he was the Lord of the Old Testament. They could not have the public believing that, even though they knew it was true. They could not have the public believing it because they would lose their power over all the poor people and believers and whatever that bring in the sacrifices and the money and all the other kind of things. It's a lot of what we're talking about now. A lot of people twist a lot of stuff around. And in 1 John chapter 8, verse 58-59, it says, very truly I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. And this is what I'm talking about. He said it publicly. It blew their minds. They could not have that going on. They could not have people hearing that. They could not have people believing that. So we have to go down. Vicki, turn the volume on the phone. We have to go into scriptures. We have to look at them. Isaiah 43:10. The Lord says, you are my witnesses and my servant who I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, or nor will there be one after me. It means Christ is the Son of God. I don't think any of us have any question with that. He's the Son of God. Now, we get into the Son of Man. The biggest problem that people have there is they try to figure, well, he was born here and he was there and he's this. Listen to this. He came here. He took himself out of divine status. He came here. And he was born of a woman, and he became a man, and he lived as a man. He could have used all the power in heaven to do whatever he wanted. But he wanted to be our example. He wanted to show us what we can do. He wanted to show us to follow his Father. So people call him the Son of Man. All through the Old Testament, they keep prophesying. They keep telling and telling and telling. And they call him the Son of Man. All it's in Psalms. It's everywhere. There's all kinds of descriptions. Let's see. I had another one here. Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Live a life just as Christ loved us. I have several different places where we go and it says the Son of Man. It's simply saying he was born as a man. He's still a son of God. That's not going to change. It's never going to change. Like he said, there was no God made before me and none after me. He's the Son of God himself. We simply call him the Son of Man because he was born here. He came down and he left his heavenly realm. He loved us so much. He came to give us one last chance. He came to bleed over all the sins of the world all through the history of the Bible. And we'll get into paradise and things in a minute. Those people couldn't go to heaven because no blood had been shed over them, over their sins. But we'll cover that in a minute. This is the Son of God. Call him whichever one you want to, Son of Man or Son of God. He answers to both because he truly is both. He's the Son of God. He's the immortal. He is the one that's going to get us to heaven. He is the one that was there before this earth was created. It was through him, by him, and for him that God created this world. So we could worship Christ. Christ could be for us. And by all that happening, it glorifies God. But yet he came here as a human, and he suffered here as a human. He could have said, no, I'm not going up on that cross. But he didn't do it. He came here. He loved us so much. He came here as our example, as our Savior, as our Blessed One, our Son of God, our Son of Man. And he came here and he went through everything and showed us what faith can do and what it will do. You know, last night I was watching a show on TV. Deb was had playing him. It was about Caleb Mueller. Some of y'all, that name won't be recognizable, but it was a lady in Syria. One of our American ladies was taken prisoner over in Syria. She was doing helping children, things like this. Anyway, she went over into Syria, and she was taken prisoner. And it's all about how in our government was trading for people and doing this and buying people out. They wouldn't get her out for some reason. That's the news story. Let me tell you the story I saw. The entire hour I watched this show, or however many long it was, I kept hearing over and over and over. I was thinking about tonight, and I think about what Christ did for us. And I kept hearing over, and I kept telling Deb, I said, we're going to watch this whole show. Then I'm going to ask you what the real story is in this show. So the story was all about her parents grieving for her, trying to get her freed. Certain leaders in our government said no, they wouldn't do it, different things. They had a lot of stories, and they promised a lot of things, but it never happened. Well, she ended up being killed. Pictures were sent to her parents. But they kept her for a long time, longer than anybody else they had that we know of. She was there when they were killing the guys, and she was there when the Danish and Doctors Without Borders, other people were bailing their people out and whatever, doing whatever they do to get their people out that were prisoners. And some of these ex-prisoners were on there testifying what she was like. There's a key word. Through all of her turmoil, through all of the challenges, through all of the things that happened, she never stopped professing her faith in God. She never lost faith. Never once. And she told everybody that. When they came in and they paraded her in front of some male prisoners or whatever and said, see, she converted to Islam. She told them right in front of these people, no, I didn't. She challenged them. Every turn they went and everything done to her and everything that happened all the way to death, the story I saw was somebody that had faith in God. Not only that, witnessed for God and for Jesus Christ to the very end. Without question. everything, everybody that knew her, everybody that experienced being around her, while other than the people I had her prisoner, everybody else, all the other prisoners, everybody that saw her said the same thing. Even one night she could have escaped with two other girls. There were Yazidis. They're Christians that been tortured and killed over there. She told the girls, no, because I'm an American. They will come after us. Where if you two escape, maybe they won't. She could have gotten out. But she gave her life for other people. Everything I saw for an hour. Check out this lady's story. Kayla Mueller. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. Google it, whatever you got to do. Watch the real story in this whole thing. God used her to witness to the world. What's sad to me is so many people don't look at that. They're looking at the news story and how this happened and this didn't happen. All this happened and she's in the wrong place and whatever. The story is her life from beginning to end and what she did over and over and over and over. See, Christ did this and a whole lot more. That's what he came here for. He is the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man. And he showed us, and he took it all the way to the cross, and he bled over everybody's sins all the way through. You know, I could take you to John 5 and 19. It says Jesus doesn't do anything on his own. He copies his Father's actions. It's his words. He says he's the Son of God. Matthew 1 and 11, a voice out of the heavens yelled, and it said, you are my beloved Son, and who I am well pleased. I can show you verse after verse after verse. It's the Son of God. But we call him the Son of Man because all the way through the Old Testament, he was prophesied, and he has a lineage. Go check it out. We've talked about it a lot of times. Oh, yeah, this is a guy that has an ex-prostitute and some other questionable people that were questionable at one time, changed their lives, and God blessed them for everything they did and put them in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So all the way down through the great King David and Solomon and all that, Jesus is in that lineage. So we call him the Son of Man because he comes in that lineage and through kings and leaders that God ordained and God put in place and God blessed. You know, like King David, God gave these people control over all of God's people. And he put Jesus Christ in that lineage. So, yeah, metaphor, whatever you want to call it, we call him the Son of Man too. Not a big deal. It's the same person. Philippians 2, 6-8, it says, talking about Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. In other words, he came here as a man to show us what it's like to honor God the Father, to do what he asked us to do. That's what Caleb did. That's what a lot of people are doing. Can we do it? That's the question. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant or a man. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. You know, going to the Old Testament, Daniel said, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, which is God, and was led into his presence. He's coming on a cloud. When he comes back, that's how he's going to come. Everybody's going to see it at one time. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Mark 2:10. So they're one and the same person. We simply, some people say the Son of Man because he came and was born as a man. That's all the difference. So don't let people confuse you with all that. But I want to get into the good stuff. Now, anything about God is awesome. I want to get into the one that blows people's minds. Paradise. In the Old Testament, there were three people that did not have to die. They did not have to taste death. And they were taken up. But then in the New Testament, Christ said they didn't go to heaven. So where did they go? There's a place called paradise. When Christ was on the cross, he told the one thief, tonight, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say you'll be in heaven with God the Father. He said you'll be in paradise. Totally different world. Until Christ bled over those sins, nobody could go to heaven. And that was happening right there. Remember, Christ was bleeding over then, and it was all happening. So then paradise becomes non-existent anymore. But anyway, the life of a creature in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of a creature is in the blood. and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Okay. In other words, they would sacrifice animals and the blood on the altar. But only blood can save the life. Only blood can do away with the sin. And that would be Jesus Christ, who was coming in the future. Leviticus is way back there when they were in the desert. Now, paradise was a place somewhere here. We're not exactly, there's a lot of question about that, but it was here. It wasn't in heaven with God as we understand it. It was a place where actually you could look over into hell. And you could actually talk to those people. And they said, well, how'd you do that? Well, anyway, Abraham is called the father of the Israel people. And it's sometimes described in the bosom of Abraham. It's sometimes called paradise. Some people refer to it as the first heaven. There's a lot of different names, but the Bible most generally calls it paradise. It was a holding place. Because you couldn't go to heaven like the scripture says until something bled over your sins. And Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for that. So they were with Abraham. They were with each other. There's a story in Luke in chapter 16 about there was a rich man dressed in purple and fine linen. He lived in luxury every day. Now, purple was royalty. And it's talking about the beggar that was laying at his gate. And even the dogs came and licked his sores. The rich man wouldn't give him anything. And anyway, the beggar died, and angels carried him to Abraham's side. That would be in paradise. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away, and he saw his beggar Lazarus by his side. So the rich man called, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony. Abraham reminded him what your life was like and how you treated that beggar. And then he asked for Lazarus to be able to go back, the rich man did, and tell my brothers. And Abraham said, they don't listen to the prophets. They're not going to listen to a beggar. In other words, you didn't either. So it's a great story. But paradise was here on earth. And that's who Christ released. Whenever most people believe that was who, that's who he released. That's the way the scriptures look at it. Whenever he defeated Satan for the keys of the kingdom, he defeated Satan on his own without God. When Christ rose from the dead, he assumed his position again that he'd had before in the glory and the power. And he defeated Satan. He freed those people in paradise, and they got to go to heaven. Now, in the New Testament, I was looking. There's a lot of scriptures. 1 Thessalonians, you're asleep until judgment day. I was reading that today, too, and like Debbie's find out when she reads a lot of these things, there's a lot of opinions out there. But when the scripture is pretty clear about it over and over and over, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, all the descriptions of everything from the time Christ was crucified, he did his things there, and he ascended back to heaven, which started in the times. Our Bible says from that point on, when you die, you're asleep. Now, it also says you're in the hands of Christ. It was Christ is protecting you. I was reading one guy today. He says, well, sleep is for bodies, and your body's going to be resurrected with you on judgment day. But until then, you're in heaven with Christ. Well, wait a minute. Christ says no one goes to heaven until judgment day. So that threw that opinion out the window. But the Bible says you have to stay in judgment before you'll be in heaven. It's very clear about that. All through the New Testament, it mentions several times the Old Testament. Paradise, as Debbie says, paradise was the Old Testament, heaven's the New Testament. And even when you get reading through Thessalonians and Ephesians and all into Revelations, you'll find out that there's an order that people's bodies will be called up. Now, we don't need all this earth, dust to dust. But God will call everybody up in order. I don't remember the exact order, I didn't look at today, but some they're buried in the water. And then once buried on land and this, and the ones that are still alive will be the last ones to be called up to judgment. And you'll stand before Jesus Christ, and that's when the Bible says every knee will bow and every mouth will say Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, that's the day I want to see. I don't care what happens between now and then. It doesn't matter to me. Yeah, I don't like pain, but if it happens, it happens. I'm looking forward to judgment day. I'm looking forward to heaven, not to paradise. I'm looking forward to getting there and Christ saying straight to me, welcome home, my son. job well done. Because I'm going to tell you, you can have a lot of things happen to you here. You can have a lot of confusion happen to you here. You can listen to a lot of people that are way, way out there somewhere. But bottom line is in that Bible you hold in your hand. Now, I taught somebody this week, they didn't even know. If you want a subject in the Bible, hit Google on your phone. It's amazing what will come up. Some of the major Bible reading programs will come up. You read in any version you want. I mean, you get Swahili, Chinese, whatever, and all kinds of English and all kinds of versions of the Bible. But I'm going to tell you what, it all says the same thing. It says you're responsible for yourself. That means you need to go out and you need to pray and you need to talk to God. You need to expect an answer and you need to read your Bible. And in today's day and time, we have more Bible available to us than ever in history. And every single one of them says the same thing. It says the same story. I don't care what name's on the front of it. I don't care what name's on the church building you go into. That Bible says the same story. Here's something that I'm going to tell you I haven't told in a long time, and a lot of people here never heard it. But when I tell you, when people come up and want to talk the Bible to me, I tell them to bring your Bible. Because they can argue if I use my Bible, even if it's the same one they have. I tell them, bring your Bible that you want to ask questions about and bring it up here. And they're amazed. They think I can read all these kinds of Bibles. It's not what I'm doing. The story's the same. I've proven it over and over and over again. God taught me that a long time ago. He's too big for the story to change. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the Most High, whatever you want to call him, he's one and the same person. He's Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to get you to heaven. Am I worried about what happened back before and how they got there? No, I'm worried about what's happening now. Paradise was back then. They were waiting for Christ to come to bleed over their sins. We've been blessed. We don't have to wait. That's already happened. When we close our eyes on this side, it will seem like only a split second will open them on the other side. That's what it will seem like. There's nothing. We won't know anything in between. But we will be in the protection of Jesus Christ, and Satan or nobody or nothing can change that. None of it can hurt us. But we have to make ourselves right first. And that's getting close to Jesus Christ. A major church the other day just said they're trying to get people back in their churches, and they just made a big statement, said, you know, one-on-one relationship with Christ is great, but you could really get in trouble if you don't make a one-on-one relationship with the church first. What they're saying is you ain't smart enough to read your Bible. That's all it says. That's all that same church has been saying for a couple thousand years, and so is a lot of other ones. That's not true. When you come in here, we're glad you come in here, and you're glad we come in here and share the word and this time. But we tell you, read your Bible. That's your responsibility. And now, some of you don't have some. I've been talking to you this week. I have Bibles here, be going out in the mail this week to you. You know who you are. If somebody else on here doesn't have one, we will get you one. Simple, easy to read version, red letters in them. That's the part Christ read. Christ said, I keep telling people, if you read just the red letters, you can still get to heaven. I had one person challenge me, and that was actually a preacher. And I said, really? In your church, you say Christ is the only way to heaven. Yeah, I said, well, how come you can't read what he said and get to heaven? He said, you know, I never thought of it that way. I said, no, because somebody told you different. Read your Bible. Jesus Christ said the story is simple, and Christ is the story. I love studying all these others. I love history and all these things. I love putting them all together, and this thing is awesome. Any time to help anybody get closer to Christ. What you need to worry about right now, for your own sake, is how you're going to get on the first bus. And by that, if you're new in here, we always talk about there's so many parts of the Bible people put so many questions to and all that, and is Christ coming once or twice, or what's he doing, all this kind of stuff. I don't care. I want to go the first time. I ain't worried about the second or third time. I want to be in the first bunch. Just in case he gets tired, don't come back for the other bunch. That's a joke. I want to be on the first bunch. I want to, whatever it is, the first bus, the first flight, whatever you want to call it, I want to be on the first one. I want each and every one of you to be there with me on the first one. You know, in Ephesians 5 and 1, well, let's go back to Ephesians 2 and 10. It says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 5 and 1, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as a sacrifice and an offering. That was, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. If you have children, you want your children to love you. We should be the same way with our Father. That's what he's saying. And we want our children to imitate us. We want to give them the best example we can to help them out in the world. God does the same thing. He wants us to imitate him, do what he says, be loving people like he asks us to be, reach out, get out of your comfort zone, touch other people. I like it when it says, you know, you lay down your life for your fellow man. All you got to do is get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Today was actually, let me see how this is. We have all these national days on our calendar. And on one of my dog sites, there was a thing. It was today, I think it was National Give Up Something You Like to Help Someone Else Day. Help someone in need. It's a great day. I think every day I'll be that way. Give up something you like to help someone else in need. I was talking to one of our new brothers in here this week and was asking me, is it the same thing as tithing is if I take money that I have and feed someone that's hungry? Sure it is. Sure it is. I like money. It's nice and it's warm and it's green. It goes with any color clothes I wear. But you know, it all belongs to God. Sure it is. When you're doing reaching out there and you're showing the love of God to other people, when you're taking what you have and helping someone that's needier than you, when you're helping the widows and orphans, it says there in the Bible. I was at a Christian bookstore over here, bought these Bibles and things, and right up there, and it's not for me. I'm telling you, this store has not only part of the profit, this national chain goes to widows and orphans, plus they have another box there you can donate to add to the widows and orphans. It amazes me how many people say they're Christians and say they read their Bible. And they'll tell you, I've heard them standing right there talking about it. And Brother Travis and me, one day, we saw some stuff happening. But I've stood right there with that offering place for the widows and orphans. And people talking amongst themselves, well, we had a great church service, and I'm so glad I'm a Christian, and I'm in this church. I've heard this. And they walk right by what's going to help widows and orphans. To me, that's people that don't read the Bible. Christ said, take care of the widows and orphans. And this particular store, not only do they donate part of their proceeds, they also collect to help out too. They also had a thing there to help out the convoy or Summit of Hope going to Louisiana for all these thousands and thousands of people that are out of homes and stuff. I saw these same people look right at it and read it. And you know, and the cashier was asking them if they would like to. No, I don't do things like that. But they're proud to be Christians. I'm not running them down. I'm saying these people will answer for this. They don't read their Bible. They don't know what's in it. They need to. Each and every one of you we're sending Bibles to, I hope that you open them. I hope for you that you open them. I hope for you that you're studying them. I hope for you when we give out these verses and this, that you read them all week long. Go back and check them. Check what we're telling you here. Paradise is Old Testament. Heaven is New Testament. Son of God, Son of Man, the same people. It's the same thing. Son of Man, Son of God, whatever you want to call him, he has lots of names. He's the only way you're going to get to heaven. And we're talking about the heaven where God the Father is. We're talking about where you want to get to, where you should want to get to. But you see, somebody was talking to me last week. He said, I thought you said all we had to do was pray to get to heaven, but now you're saying we got to do a lot of other things. If you love God the Father like Christ said to do, the most important commandments, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your being, you'll do what he asks you to do. Christ didn't get all the way back to heaven by just praying once a day. Christ did a lot of things. Caleb Mueller, who in my interpretation of the Bible, the way I look at it, will be in heaven on Judgment Day. She didn't get there by doing nothing. She didn't get there by being quiet. She didn't get there by saying, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't help other people. She didn't get there by saying, I'm a Christian, but, you know, to save my life right here on earth, I'm going to switch to Islam or some whatever religion. She didn't do that. She did a lot more. If you ever want a hero or a heroine or whatever you want to call it, look her up. It's quite a story. I watched this whole story. I watched all the tears, and I'm with them. I'd probably be doing the same thing, and I would be fighting just as hard to get my child out. But the bottom line was, she's an awesome example of Christ. Be imitators of God. She was imitating God. The glory goes to Jesus Christ, to God, and I'm telling you, she brought the glory. People that got out of there are telling the world what she was like. And it's so sad, a lot of the world will never pay attention to it. They don't look beyond the news media. They don't look beyond the selling part. They don't look at what she did and what she did in people's lives. Those people know. They're telling their story, and they understand. She stood up for God no matter what. And I saw them. I saw men stand there and say, I couldn't have done it. They said, I could have done it. I would have changed. I couldn't do it. She had awesome strength. That's faith. She reads her Bible. When she was in there, it was in her mind and in her heart. God was there with her. She went through a lot of challenges and a lot of bad ones. And we still don't know how she died. We don't know where her body is. Doesn't matter. What matters is what she did. She acted like a true Christian. She withstood the tortures and the terrors of this planet to be there on Judgment Day and to hear our Father in Heaven say, job well done. And that's what we do here. We challenge you to read your Bible. It's not hard. Get this. Keep it simple. When you read your Bible, when you read these things about paradise and heaven, they're not complicated. When you read about the Son of Man, the Son of God, they're not complicated. You've simply been told they are. And yet we say this a lot. But when I read scientifically, you have to hear something 16 times to get like an eighth of it to stay in your head. So as many times as we have to tell it. And we will have a lot of other lessons. I really want to get on some other lessons, but I want this over and over. It's a simple, simple, simple story. When you read your Bible, get a version you can understand. I don't care which one it is. The story is the same. I challenge you to show me it's not. And we're famous in this ministry for challenging a whole lot of people. The story is the same. You've just been told it's too hard to read. It's not. We've been told for thousands of years you have to have somebody to interpret it for you. No, you don't. God will interpret it for you. You just got to slow down and read it the way it's written and watch what happens. It will open up to you. We have one brother in this ministry right now checks every single thing I say. And always during the week, he shows me, sends me texts and pictures of stuff where he found it. Yeah, there it is. There it is. There, he says, I was never told that way. But it's there. That's the point. It's there. You just have to be very simple and read it the way it's written. Christ said it's a simple story. Mankind makes it hard. Somebody just got the answer. They just sent it to me. It's that easy. The question of this month is a good question. And if you find the answer to it, you're going to be amazed, like this person is. It's a really simple story. We misuse a lot of words and a lot of things, but it's really simple. I'm going to leave you with that thought tonight. If you'll bow your heads with me, thank you, Heavenly Father, for being so patient with us. And be with these people on our prayer list, Lord. And be with all these drivers that go out in the world. And be with these people around the world that are giving their lives witnessing for you. But most of all, Lord, open our eyes up so we can see it. Get us beyond the blocks that people have put in our hearts and our minds. Help each and every one of us to open up more and more every single day to see the wonderful things that are happening in the world around us, the wonderful witnesses, and help us to be a witness like them. Be with each and every one of them as they go out in their hands upon a wheel, Lord. Be with each and every one as they go out in the world and witness and carry your word out there. to where you ask us to take it to, Lord. We know you said take it out into the world and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be with us, Lord, as we go out and do that. And keep opening doors for us. And we asked you many years ago, we would keep going till you close the door, and you've not closed one yet. And it's such an awesome feeling, Lord. Be with each and every one of these people here tonight. Treat them the same way. Open doors in front of them and keep them moving forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.